pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre, and it is great to be back on the show with you, Tony. Thank you for thinking of me.
Luban's off? He's off again? How long is it?
Hi. I'm right here.
It's good to
I'm right
yeah,
here.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah,
great
Nigel
to see you.
Wade.
I love you. You know I love you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon has the day off again. So I'm joined by our great friend, the host of the podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out, Mr. Pablo Torre. They love you too, you can tell. And we begin today with Iowa taking a solid lead in the third quarter and holding it to beat LSU last night, advancing to the Final Four. Must have been sweet for Iowa to beat the team who beat them in the final last year. Caitlin Clark had 41 points and 12 assists. Angel Reese had 17 points and 20 rebounds. Pablo, you were there with your boy Jason Sudeikis. What does this mean for Clark in Iowa? And how do you see LSU's title defense now that it's over?
Yeah, let me say that this was one of the greatest nights of my life. I'm old enough to remember when this whole premise, Sudeikis, thank you, by the way, the whole premise, him involved, would be totally ridiculous. And so I want to say to you that, of course, Caitlin Clark is somebody who finds a way to exceed expectations, even as the expectations are stratospheric, okay? What I sensed in person, what I sensed after the game when I got to meet her, I'll be Wilbon here, Tony. I'm going to be a little Wilbon. Watch your feet. I'm dropping names. I met Caitlin, met her family very briefly, and the notion that their daughter manages to do things that make her one of the greatest shows on earth, she leads the NCAA tournament historically in assists, okay? As well as the points, as well as the fact that she is the closest thing to Steph Curry we've ever seen. So look, I can go on and on, but for me, it was just as good as I am excitedly describing it.
Yeah, I've had a little problem with my earpiece, so I didn't hear all of that. Did you say you met Caitlin Clark and her family after the game?
I did.
Wow,
I did.
That's
Thank
exciting. Look, yeah, I watched every single play of that game alone without fancy friends. Because I've been watching Caitlin Clark all season because I think she is a fabulous show. I mean, I really do. She's not, I know, she's not a great shooter. She's not Steph Curry. She's not. But she's a great scorer. And she rises to the moment time after time after time. Pay particular attention to what she did at the beginning of the first quarter and the beginning of the third quarter. A raft of threes. When they are psychologically important. She is saying to LSU, I'm going to be here all night playing big-time basketball. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be here. And she is a fabulous anticipatory passer. She had 12 assists that if everybody held on to the ball would have been 15 or 16 assists. She accounted, I believe, for 67 of Iowa's 94 points. And I will tell you this, I believe she accounted as well for what will be when the ratings come in the most watched women's college basketball game of all time to that
Correct.
Point. I think it is right and just that she is in the Final Four. This has been her season. Do I think they're going to win it? No, I didn't think they were going to beat LSU. I also think I'd like to see LSU in the Final Four. I would have liked to see this game in the Final Four. I thought LSU, I'll be brief. I thought LSU played well. They got burned by a bad shooting third quarter, 5 of 26. Couldn't recover from it.
Yeah, Tony, I want to point this out, too. The reason Caitlin Clark is so impressive is not simply because she's setting records and, wow, it's so nice. It's because she's doing it at a time when the competition in the women's game is incredible all around. LSU, you mentioned, is an incredible team. They're the defending champions.
Yeah.
And, of course, Angel Reese has hobbled. All of that is true as well. But the point of how do you demoralize a defending champion full of pros, as Caitlin Clark did, you nailed it. She unapologetically pulls up from 45 feet over and over again. And it's that thing, right? You said she's not a great shooter, and that's true on the percentages this tournament. But in terms of just what she has in stage presence and the ability for her shot to open up the floor,
Tremendous.
Okay?
Yeah,
when she takes those shots and she hits them, you just do as Haley Van Lith did. You throw your hands up and you say, I cannot defend this. And they didn't. And that's why it was so incredible to me. But look. The late game, There's another game. It featured UConn topping USC, Tony. Paige Bueckers and Juju Watkins had nearly identical points and rebounds totals, but Bueckers shot a higher percentage and added more assists in leading the Huskies to their 15th Final Four in the last 16 tournaments. The Huskies started the season 4-3. They're now 33-5. Gino Auriemma, the head coach, said this, quote, "They believe in themselves and they're making me believe in them even more," end quote. So has UConn made you a believer, Tony?
Yeah, I will get to that in a second. I just want to alert the viewers that later in the show, you'll talk about other famous people you met last night and their families. if you are asking me, do I believe that UConn is going to win and beat Iowa and South Carolina in succession? No, I don't, because I don't think anybody can beat South Carolina. But if you're asking me, do I have some sort of belief system in the University of Connecticut? My answer is, are you kidding me? This is their 23rd Final Four under Gino Auriemma. They are to women's basketball what UCLA was to men's basketball, but yeah, over a longer period of time. 23 Final Fours, 15 of the last 16, 11 championships. John Wooden won 10 championships. I'm not going to sit here and say they can't win, because they can win. I will sit here and say that I don't think they're going to win, but of course they can win. Look, this is what we got last night. We got, in this game, Paige Bueckers and Juju Watkins. In the game we just talked about, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I would tell you, and I'm sure you would agree, they're the four biggest stars, individual biggest stars, in women's basketball. Now we're going to get Bueckers against Clark, who are probably the two best. I said this yesterday.
Amazing.
This is America's Got Talent. This is it.
Yeah, Hannah Hidalgo, Notre Dame, another name I'd throw in there, but Juju Watkins, Tony, from USC, has been the greatest freshman scorer in the history of the women's game. So that's who they beat. And so the thing about UConn, right, I always love how this dynamic unfolds sometimes. How does Goliath get to feel like David? This is how it happens. You get six players injured, and so you only have seven players for Gino Auriemma to put out there. And so Paige Bueckers, two of those players played all 40 minutes, right? So the question of, are they healthy enough to contend, has been the biggest knock on UConn. But Paige Bueckers, to take the time machine for a spin a little bit, she was more highly touted than Caitlin Clark. She was supposed to be everything Caitlin Clark became, one of the great prospects. And she's been almost as good because she's finally healthy.
I'm just going to take a couple of seconds here to say, before we end this story, what I'm interested in is Gino Auriemma, and is this it? For about a month ago, he talked about, sort of cryptically, I don't know how many more wins I have, probably in single digits. I'm not going to chase Vanderveer for the most wins ever. But if Paige Bueckers is coming back, wouldn't you roll the dice one more time since you just made the Final Four? We move now to baseball. We had a no-hitter last night. It came from Houston's Ronel Blanco, who was making only his eighth major league start and was making it because so many Astros pitchers are hurt, like Connecticut players. Blanco struck out seven Blue Jays, walked two, and threw 105 pitches. Pablo, what did you find most interesting about this player accomplishing this feat?
So I am wired to be numb and unimpressed by no-hitters, Tony, because they've come fast and furious in recent years, okay? It just happens a lot. There are guys I've never heard of who do this, but allow me to give this gentleman the title of the guy I have heard the least about before. He started pitching at age 18. He had never pitched a complete game before. I believe he topped out, I'm going to check my notes here, I believe he had not pitched more than six innings until this game.
Yes.
So in terms of just how does he come out of nowhere and be this good? It's remarkable on the level of anonymity, even in an era when anonymity reigns.
So I had never heard of him or seen him until this morning when I was watching and it said he had a no-hitter. And I looked at his hair. It was wild. It's so bright yellow. And I thought, if I only had hair, I would dye it that color too, because it just looks so great.
Yeah, that's the thing keeping you from it.
And I don't want to go crazy here, because what you say is true. We have three or four or five no-hitters every year. We have one early in the season every year, though this is unusually early, basically, the first week. And the story of the no-hitter in baseball is that it is done by people that you don't expect to do it. I'll just amplify some of the things you said. He not only hasn't gone to the seventh, he's never thrown 100 pitches. This was his 25th major league game. He was signed for $5,000 by the Astros while he was working in a car wash. A car wash. And you know the great line about the car wash? A guy throws the baseball through the car wash so fast that it doesn't even get wet. He's that guy. Yeah. He's that guy. The Astros have 17 no-hitters as a franchise. And a couple of them are by Hall of Famers, Nolan Ryan and Justin Verlander. But there are itinerants as well. Mike Fiers, Don Notabart, Ken Johnson. It's your lucky day, kid. When you get it, it's your lucky day.
Right. Baseball as a sport is a joy to me because you have, right alongside the all-timers, the no-doubt Cooperstown residents, you have these guys. And they're all mixed up together, and that's a function of this game. In basketball, of course, it's always the big names with the big records. Here you have a category of one day you're as good as the best there ever was, even though we don't ever think of you until another anonymous guy does that again.
Let's take a break. Coming up, the Yankees aren't the only team to start the season 5-0. Are the Pirates an even better story?
And Luka hit two insane shots on Sunday, so which was more impressive?
So who else did you meet? Who did you hang around with? What other families?
Just that grump Ezra Edelman was there, but it was mostly, I want to center this truly, on the fun I had in the Iowa fan section. What a total delight to be with those people. This was the greatest thing that...
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to totally stick it to Pablo and toss up. What's first?
Toss up, more intriguing 5-0 start, the Yankees or the Pirates?
Of course, it's the Pirates. Who is surprised that the Yankees are 5-0? These are the Yankees. They spend a lot of money on great players. The Pirates haven't been 5-0, I believe, in the last 41 years. I don't think they've made the playoffs in the last 9 years. And in that interim, they have had one winning season in which they only won 82 games. That's all they won, to have a winning season. They're 4-0 this year against the Marlins. They came to Washington yesterday, and they beat my Nationals. I don't really want to talk about that. I guess I have to talk about that some point. Yeah, they've got the same amount of wins, the Pirates, as the entire National League East. Our problem in Washington is the bullpen is terrible. The last two games, this game yesterday was 3-3 in a seventh, and the Pirates won 8-4. You know, Matt Barnes and Tanner Rainey and Kyle Finnegan and Hunter Harvey, one has been worse than the next. They've been worse than the next.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Yankees, Tony. The question was, what am I personally intrigued by? I'm intrigued by the idea that I'm going to get what I want this season, right? I want a 28th World Series trophy. I want to erase the memory of last season. And so thank you to Luis Gil. Thank you to Anthony Volpe. Thank you to the new kids who are making it so that 1992, the last time a 5-0 start happened, is something that I can enjoy at age 38. The Yankees have only done this four times. So as much as the Pirates, of course, are a relative desert for which this is manna from heaven falling upon them, sure.
Yeah.
For me, I'm doing the math here, the exchange rate. This should have happened more often. It hasn't. So I'm going to enjoy it and pretend like this is exactly the pace at which this season will unfold. Thank you very much.
That's wonderful. I'm glad that you see the world through the eyes of a Yankee fan and nothing else. You don't take the big picture. I love that part. What's next?
Toss up more impressive Luka Doncic shot from the other night. The one from the game or the one from the pregame?
Okay. Both of these shots are unbelievable. I'm using that word deliberately. Unbelievable. The pregame shot, he throws the ball off the overhead scoreboard at midcourt. When you see this shot, you assume the footage has been doctored because it goes off the scoreboard, goes into the glass backboard and right through the net. And you say that couldn't possibly happen. In the game itself, he takes a one-handed underhand teardrop shot. A lot of guys do that from 4 feet. He does it from 22 feet. And you say to yourself, I've never seen that before. Of course you haven't. No one has ever taken that shot in a real game from that distance. He's having an MVP year. Doncic is leading the league in scoring, 34 points a game. He's third in assists, 9.8, 9.1 rebounds as well. And I'm glad I can talk about Doncic with you here and not Wilbon, because Wilbon would just dismissively say, get on a treadmill, because he hates Luka Doncic.
Right. You got to play yourself into shape. I just want to marvel at the shape he's in right now, because when we talk about skill, Tony, of course you can talk about stuff that happens in the game, but I like to think of it more like a pool player. Like a guy who can do trick shots, like a guy who has such a command and mastery of the objects at his manual disposal that he will do something that, yes, will make me think like I'm watching a deep fake. And so I am somebody at this age who has this phone, and I see all sorts of stuff in this phone every day. I've never seen the pregame shot that you described. I've never seen anyone attempt it. I've seen people try to do an offhanded push shot underhand. Yes, Kyrie had a game winner that reminded me kind of that, although it was overhand instead of underhand. But that video board thing, that is that McDonald's commercial with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, except they didn't have the imagination to even try it. He did it, even though it didn't count.
That's it. I really have to get a cell phone if you can see this all the time. Let's get one last break in. Still to come, Patrick Mahomes has a new backup.
And Rajon Rondo calls it a career.
Yeah, cell phones, huh? What else is new? You know, what else could I get that you have that
so
I don't
much.
Have?
I got one of those
Sudeikis'
VR headsets.
Sudeikis' phone number? Can I get Sudeikis' phone number from you?
People were asking about you in Albany last night.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 86th birthday, Al Weiss. History lesson, kids, and Pablo. Weiss played 10 years in the majors with the White Sox and Mets. His career batting average was only .219, and he hit only 7 homers. But the amazing Mets might not have won the 1969 World Series without him. Weiss was the Mets' second baseman, nowhere near as popular or productive as Cleon Jones, Tommy Agee, or Bud Harrelson. But Weiss had the game-winning RBI single in the top of the 9th in Game 2, and Weiss hit a solo homer in the bottom of the 7th to tie Game 5, 3-3. The Mets went on to win that game and the series over Baltimore in 5. And these were the Orioles of Frank and Brooks Robinson, Boog Powell, and Paul Blair.
So I admit that this is a bit before my time. I've dropped a lot of names on you, Tony, today. I'd like you to do the same. What else do you remember about the 69 Mets? Because that's a bit of a blind spot for me, now that I think about it.
Tom Seaver led a great pitching staff. Jerry Kuzman, John Matlack, I believe, Nolan Ryan as a kid. Happy anniversary, Jay Cutler, On this day 15 years ago, the mercurial quarterback was traded to the Bears from Denver after getting off on the wrong foot with new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels. In 2010, Cutler led the Bears to a division title and into the NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, the Bears lost at home to the Packers when Cutler appeared to opt out of playing with what turned out to be a sprained MCL. Somehow Cutler was named one of the 100 greatest Bears of all time in 2019. This frosted Wilbon, who hates Cutler and says of him only soul-crushing interceptions. Drafting the right quarterback this year will thrill Wilbon and erase all of his Cutler memories.
Yeah, but the memory of him, and this is an apocryphal story, but the memory of him, there's a story about this. Jay Cutler at a urinal yelling, "Don't care," to someone standing next to him. We should fact check that at some point in the world of journalism, but it's become basically a thing that everybody says, a legend. I just hope that one is true about Jay Cutler, because I love that story.
A melancholy trail to Larry Lucchino. The former president of the Orioles, the Padres, and Red Sox died today at 78. Lucchino, who played college basketball at Princeton with Bill Bradley and made the Final Four in 1965, was a lawyer by trade and a baseball man by avocation. He worked for famed attorney Edward Bennett Williams when Williams owned the Orioles, and Lucchino supervised the building of the iconic Camden Yards. In San Diego, Lucchino presided over the construction of Petco Park. But his greatest success came with the Red Sox, where in 2002, he hired 28-year-old Theo Epstein as general manager. 2 years later, the Red Sox won their first World Series in 86 years and the first of three titles the Red Sox would win during Lucchino's tenure. It was Lucchino who coined the perfect phrase to describe the Yankees, if you were a Red Sox fan, the evil empire.
That is a phrase that works, that makes sense. And when I was reading some of just the obits just now, Tony, about Larry Lucchino, what's clear is that this man is so much more influential than I realized, even as I hated him and his team for what he was doing, which was daring to present themselves as equals to a team that had destroyed them routinely. That sense of what seemed like then to be delusion and now feels in retrospect as absolutely the right strategic move is essential, I think, to the way that the Boston Red Sox wound up being, which is to say an empire unto themselves.
One error, John Matlack did not join the Mets until 1971. My bad, wasn't on the 69 Miracle Mets. Seaver and Kuzman were 1-2. We are running out of show. We go to the big finish. Rajon Rondo told the All the Smoke podcast he's retired from the NBA. How will you remember his career?
Some wraparound passes and a reputation as one of the smartest players to ever play basketball. Carson Wentz will back up Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Do you like that?
I actually do. He's not been any good in the last few years, but he once was very good, and as a backup, he could be very good. Devin Booker at 52 as the Suns beat the Pelicans. Is that significant?
Yeah, the Suns are seventh in the West. They're a game behind the sixth place Pelicans. They have the tiebreaker, too. That's a big deal. The NIT semis are tonight. Who you got?
I'd like to see Indiana State win the entire tournament, and I'd like to see Seton Hall get to the final. I have wonderful warm feelings for the NIT growing up where I did. Last one, 4-0 Tigers at 0-4 Mets night. 0-4 Mets, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because Steve Cohen somewhere is really thinking hard about what he thought he was doing when he bought his favorite baseball team.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. David Bookmeyer, shout out.
Ooh, and I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. Pablo Torre Finds Out is my show. It's on the internet. But for now, here's Sports Center.
Okay, so you have a really nice sign. Can you send us a really nice sign?
Because this feels like we've got it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.